Brethren, let us turn to hymn number 14 for the closing service of this day. Hymn 14, Brother McLugan's choice. And at its conclusion, we'll remain seated. We'll be led in opening prayer by Brother Harry Grable. Number 14.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Heavenly Father, we come unto thee now at the close of this day to ask thy blessing upon the one who is to break to us thy bread of life. Grant that his words might be your words, Heavenly Father, and our ears might be open and be able to appreciate those things that you send us through him. We ask it all according to thy will and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, we're pleased to have our brother Jim McLugan with us this hour to close this day of worship in spirit and in truth. Known Brother Jim for many years and appreciate his love for the harvest message and for the Lord. And he's going to talk to our hearts for this hour, a very important subject. And he has entitled his remarks, Matters of the Heart. Matters of the Heart. The Lord bless your ministry.
Thank you, brother. Don't you just love that hymn? It's my favorite. Enter and keep my heart. Thank you, Brother Ed and Sister Joanne. Lord, here I bring myself. 'Tis all I have to give. My heart's desire is wholly this, henceforth for thee to live. To own no will but thine, to suffer loss or shame, all things to bear if only I may glorify thy name. Henceforth mine every power, every each day for thee to use, my hands, my feet, my lips, mine all, as thou, my Lord, shalt choose. Dear Lord, my constant prayer is for increase of grace, that I by faith may walk with thee. till I behold thy face. Love that poem too. So. Years ago, Sister Erlyn and I used to send out cards at Christmas, there was one special card that she always would select and look high and low, and there were many years we couldn't find it. But it was this little picture of this little shepherd boy. And on the inscription of the card is, "What can I give him, as poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet, what can I give him? I give my heart." Pause. Dear brethren, when was the last time you had a heart-to-heart talk with your father? Was it this morning? Was it just before this meeting? I know, I did. Well, the privilege of prayer is ours. And so we can enter our prayer closets at any time, at any hour. And what a privilege this is to have a heart-to-heart talk with our Father. He knows all about all of us, all of ourselves and all of our doings anyway, but still, He likes to hear from us. Not when we're in trouble, but when there are times for cause for gratitude, cause for praise to our Heavenly Father and our Lord, of how appreciative we are of our Lord for His sacrifice on our behalf and on behalf of the whole world. So appreciated that, Brother Larry, as you tried to bring this point out to us that we have much cause for gratitude. But when was the last time you had a heart-to-heart talk with some of your brethren? Well, I cherish these moments of convention because we have opportunities to be and meet with those whom we have not seen for a while and to share what you've been, not more than what you've been doing, but share our love for the Lord. And I can tell you, dear brother, that there are many in this West Suburban class that I've respected over these many years. But I tell you, I've got to be careful here now. The last couple of years, I've learned to love them. Why? Because they love the Lord. They become very dear to me. Okay, enough of that. Another hymn that I appreciate, and the words are very poignant, and it's our hymn 198, "More Likeness to Thee." Oh, for a heart more like my God, from imperfection free, a heart conformed unto thy word and pleasing, Lord, to thee. A heart resigned, submissive, meek, my great Redeemer's throne, where only Christ is heard to speak, where Christ reigns alone. A humble, lowly, contrite heart, believing, true and clean, which neither life nor death can part from him who dwells within. A heart in every thought renewed and full of love divine, perfect and right and pure and good, a copy, Lord, of thine. That's what we want, isn't it? Oh, for a heart more like our God. You know, as we look into the scriptures, and I looked up how many times heart was used in the scriptures. Well, I said a heart is cited about 825 times. Don't take my word for that, because, you know, when you're counting that many times, sometimes you might miss one or two. But it's a lot, okay? And in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew writings, the main use of the thought around heart gives the thought of center of everything. The feelings, will, heart, intellect. And the main use in the New Testament gives you the thought, the heart, that is, thoughts, feelings, and will. So, summary of how the heart is used in the Scripture is the center of everything we are, everything we hope to be. This represents our very character, the very essence of our life in Christ. So what's the purpose of this lesson today? Well, as we were looking over the the program, and we noticed that tomorrow we're going to have a forum viewpoint. And I think I speak for all the brethren that are going to participate in that, that when we're done, I hope you don't say, well, I was for them or against them. I hope that that's not the case. But that's why we thought about this text today, this lesson of matters of the heart. So sometimes, in times past, and we hope not so much today, we've had a trend to place too much stress on doctrinal knowledge as a gauge of our standing with the Lord. And so this is what we're trying to express today, that our Heavenly Father looks upon the heart. Well, there are two ceilings. What are they? The head, there's an intellectual ceiling. But there's the heart ceiling also, is there not? And this heart ceiling represents the character developed of the new creature. This is the heart we want, more like our Lord. He's our pattern. He's the one we want to emulate. We are told that we have to be copies of God's dear Son, and that's what we want to be. Now, we need study also. Certainly, there's great value and stress placed upon volume study, and I believe in volume study. Well, how would we know how to interpret the Scriptures if we don't have the finger pointing to the Scriptures that help us, that open these Scriptures, that are our keys, the finger from that messenger? So we appreciate that. But also our dear brother, whom we call our Pastor Russell, he put great value and stress upon testimony meetings. And in our midst, we don't call them testimony meetings. We call them experience meetings. Again, Brother Larry's trying to bring that out to us. What is our experience each and every day? How important is the value of looking at our weekly or daily or even hourly experiences? We talk about the overruling providences of the Lord. How would we know that we have overruling providences of the Lord or Romans 8:28 unless we kind of look? We want to look. Some things are very obvious, but there are many times, and I know when we come every week, that sometimes I have to think long and hard if I were looking as we were going through the week and not back, because I have a poor memory, trying to remember everything and every event and how the Lord directed my life and overruled. Well, I have a hard time. I appreciate those who jot down their little experiences. And sometimes, and we try to do that from time to time. Heaven knows that Sister Linda has bought me about 1,200 journals to write in. And I always start out, but somehow it doesn't get very far. So, but what a wonderful thing this would be if we kind of mark in our experiences during the week. And this would help us as we think about our overruling providences. The Scriptures are important to us, and the first set of Scriptures we'd like to look at is 1 Corinthians 13, especially 1 through 4. We're all familiar with these Scriptures because every other week it's our practice that we look at these Scriptures in relationship to our testimony or experience meeting. And 1 Corinthians 13:1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not, it speaks of charity here, but we know that's agape, the highest form, perfect love, God-like love. And it's been spoken of from this platform today. We've appreciated that. And if we don't develop that, and we become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge and have not, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity or love, I am nothing. Brother Russell, just a little soundbite from reprint 4578. He says we should steer clear of two extremes. Number one was laying all the stress upon the heart and feelings and ignoring study. But we shouldn't do that. That's an extreme if we just did one, if we just did that, never did anything else, that would be an extreme one. Or number two, studying the Bible from curiosity or a desire to shine before others and ignoring heart development and a sympathetic entrance into the divine plan. So we want to avoid these two extremes, and we want to have our study and looking at our experience all work together for good. One could not have a knowledge of the deep things of God without being begotten of the Spirit of love. How important is that? To me, it's very important. But one might lose the Spirit before losing the knowledge it brought to him. I think Brother talked about that today. We could have the love for the truth, but we lose it. We have an intellectual knowledge, and that too would stay with us a little longer than the love. But finally, that would express itself too, wouldn't it? Verse 3 of 1 Corinthians 13:3, "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not agape love, it profiteth me nothing." The principal thing of Christian character, the crown of all Christian graces, is to develop this highest form of love, isn't it? The Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of the Father, developed in us as the ruling principle in our life. That's what we want to be ruled by, is these principles that are inculcated as from our Heavenly Father, from our Lord. Brother Russell pointed out that proper love as the main spring to the conduct. You know, sometimes we're wound too tight, sometimes we're wound too loose. But we want to have love to be the generator, that which is ruling in our heart. Before we can put on love, the bond of perfectness, we have many enemies to put out. The old guy, you've got to put him out so that we can put on. And we'll talk about putting on Christ a little later. So in verse 4, love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. And so Brother Russell is using this particular scripture and said, well, what spirit should we have? And in reprint 5968, we're going to quote from this a little bit, why elders should be chosen carefully. This is the heading. And this is important, but I think we're going to see responsibility along two lines. And Brother Russell begins, this should be the spirit not only of the pilgrims, that is from the thought of 1 Corinthians 13:4, of the elders of the Church of Christ, but the spirit of every member of it. For in a large sense, each one of us is privileged to be a minister or servant in writing the message of God's grace in the hearts of others. We talked a lot about some witnessing. How can we help others? Brother Russell continues. He says, but let us not forget that we shall not know how to write in the hearts of others what we have not already written in our own hearts. That makes perfect sense. Hence, the propriety of great caution in the choosing of elders. That's your responsibility. Know those whom you have served. To find those who already have the writing of the Lord in their hearts and who therefore will become competent assistants under the Holy Spirit's guidance for the writing of the Lord's character likeness in the hearts of others. And what is the message? What is the epistle that is written in our hearts by the Holy Spirit through various agents? Is it the knowledge of chronology? Is it the unraveling of types and shadows? Is it the cracking, I love this part here, is it the cracking of hard theological nuts in respect to differently understood passages of the Scriptures? Is it the knowledge of the history of the Jews, the history of the world, the history of the church? Is it the understanding and appreciating of these different covenants, past, present, and to come? No, it is none of these. of these subjects have more or less value and are more or less used of the Lord in connection with this writing that is to be done in the hearts of His people. But writing the epistle of Christ is different. The writing, the tracing of the character likeness of the Master in the hearts of His people, His meekness, His gentleness, His patience, His long-suffering, His brotherly kindness, His love, His joy, His peace. We might have all knowledge respecting chronology and history, might be able to quote every text in the Bible and to cite it too, and yet not to have the epistle of Christ written in our hearts. That's what we want. We want the epistle of Christ written in our hearts. Is it the epistle of which the Apostle Peter says, "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren, idle, or inactive, nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, for knowledge will have its place." And thus, with these characteristics of the Master deeply engraved upon our hearts, we shall be granted an abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, 2 Peter 1, 8 and 11. So wisdom can only be retained if out of a pure heart we have the proper appreciation for it. I always said, if you appreciate that which the Father has given you, He'll give you more. See? Appreciation is the key, isn't it? Be thankful. Cause for gratitude. Well, what's the first requisite that we should, what should we have? What, it's submission. We should be submissive to the Father's will. Proverbs 23:26. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. Just what does this word, what does this phrase instill in your heart and mind? My son. What a tender thought. What a tender thought that is. Give me thine heart. In our case, we've already given our hearts to the Lord. But what should we do? Is that all we should do? No. We continue each and every day to appreciate that which we've had, the Spirit begettal, and continue to give our hearts each and every day. That's what we should do, isn't it? That's what we're striving to do. The Scripture says, let thine eyes also observe thy ways. When we think about that, eyes is a symbol of wisdom. The wisest thing we have ever done, dear brethren, the wisest thing you have done, the wisest thing I have ever done, is to accept the Father's gracious invitation, giving our hearts in full, unreserved consecration to Him. And this includes what? Our reverence, our worship, our praise, earthly treasures, time, talents, influence. And it's mentioned in one little phrase, our little all. We've given our little all. What can I give Him as poor as I am? We give Him our hearts. Proverbs 3:3-4. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the tables of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. And a companion scripture we like to think about is the Micah 6:8. I mean, there are discourses and lessons that are generated around these two sets of scriptures. And Micah 6:8 says, what doth the Lord require of thee? But to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. We'd like to pursue the thought of mercy here a little bit. Mercy is so important to our character development. As the Father has shown us great mercy, so we too must learn and must exercise this God-like trait. In the Sermon Book, page 432, just one small paragraph here, we're going to quote again. One must be just in his thoughts before he can be properly just in his dealings. The man who thinks unjustly will act unjustly in spite of himself. Yes, that's true. If you think unjustly and you don't want to do it, you'll do it anyway. Do the sparks fly upward? Absolutely. You got to find that. That's how this old man is. We got to think right. We can't think unjustly. Otherwise, we'll act unjustly. The rule which the Lord establishes is that we must expect from him mercy only in proportion. That's given a lot in thoughts. It's in proportion. So in proportion is you do this, to that proportion as God will return like favor. We shall exercise this grace towards others. The fault-finding disposition that is ready to accuse and condemn everyone indicates a wrong condition of heart. You know, we hope that that's not any of our condition. I know in myself from time to time that over the years past, we're born into sin and shapen in iniquity. We have these natural fallen tendencies and traits. By the Lord's grace, we have to overcome them. Will we fully overcome them? No, but the attempt, if we fully try to attempt to overcome these fallen traits, then the Lord will bless us. The attention of the heart. He gives us credit for what we want to do, not for what we actually do. It says all the Lord's people should be on guard against these things, especially this of a fault-finding disposition. Mercy, goodness, love are the elements of character which he desires to see in the spiritual Israelites, and without which we cannot long continue to be his children. End of quote. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Proverbs 6:20 and 21. My son, again, here's that phrase. My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. Here this statement is again. Bind them around your heart. It's visible. The father's commandment, what is that? Well, Matthew 22:36 and 37. 38 and 39. Okay. And which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Again, that was from Matthew 22:36 through 39. Well, what's the law of thy mother? Brother Russell doesn't talk about this, but I've always thought about, you know, are we not developed in the womb of the Sarah Covenant? So, this feature of the Abrahamic Covenant, this pertains to what? It pertains to our vow of consecration to God. There we are. So, bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. Dear brethren, may our love for the Lord, the truth, the brethren, our consecrated life be visible just to yourself and to God. No, to visible to all. Isn't that what we want? We want to be an example unto the believers, to the believers, as well as others whom we have to do in our workplace, wherever. We want them to know at the end of the day or the end of our life that this one or that one had walked with Jesus. That's what we're trying to develop. Practical application is how can we grow strong in the Lord? Now here is one of my favorite collection of scriptures also. Now we have this for our yearly text many years, and we're going to keep after it until we fully maybe reach the essence of these scriptures. And it's from Proverbs 3, verses 5, and we're going to read through 8. Trust in the Lord. You know this, these scriptures. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, not with all thy head, with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes for the Lord, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. What's the evil? Leaning to your own understanding. We don't want to do that, do we? It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Trusting in the Lord then is what? It's imperative, isn't it? The more you trust, the more you will have confidence in the Lord. The more we see of his character, here's his name right there, God's name. You all know it, Exodus 34. That's his name, divine plan of the ages. The more we see of that and appreciate that, his wisdom, the more we learn to lean on him fully and not in our own understanding, the better off we are. Lean on him. Don't lean on the arm of flesh. Why? This will fail. He never fails. We should want to acknowledge him in all our ways, not just some of our ways, but all our ways. This is a work in progress, isn't it? To acknowledge him in all our ways. We'll do good for a while, won't we? But then sometimes we kind of stumble. At best, Brother Russell said, we just stumble along. Yeah, we just stumble along. But the Lord sees the heart. That's why this matters. It matters to you, matters to me, matters to the Lord, looking at the heart. Dear brethren, nothing is more dangerous to us than self-conceit. Leaning to your own understanding. Don't want to do that. In our thoughts, in our words, in our very actions. This is bad. If we do this, we will fail. But if we lean on him, he will direct our paths. That's a promise, isn't it? When we think of course, Brother Russell doesn't say anything about verse 8. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. I've often thought of, again, we are developed in the womb of the Sarah covenant, this Abrahamic covenant, the Sarah feature. Umbilical cord, navel, we're tied in. As long as we're in that, the womb of the Sarah covenant, we're connected. And because of that, marrow, what's developed in the marrow, the bone marrow? Well, it's our resistance to evil things. You know, when we think of that spiritually, we can overcome things. We can resist the devil and he will flee from thee. Why? Because what's a symbol for bones? Our faith. Faith can firmly trust him, come what may. The more we have faith in him, the more we trust in him, the more we'll lean on him and we'll really appreciate how he will direct our lives. Trusting in the Lord is imperative. James 4:6 says, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. That's what we want to resist, the proud, the pridefulness in our own hearts, the Canaanites in our own breast. You know, we're besieged by the adversary, the world, and the flesh. Sometimes the adversary, not very often, will leave you alone. The world will leave you alone, but the flesh is always with you. See? These close girding sins. You know, we just gotta come to face the fact that when Satan tells you, well, you're just no good there, Jim, and you say, yeah, you're right. I'm not. I'm no good, but there for the grace of God go I. See? Call his bluff. See, we're trusting in the Lord. We're not going to listen to the one who is the murderer and a liar from the verse. The great accuser. You know, when we're down in the dumps, it's always most of the time it's because our own flesh is accusing us of something, and it's fanned by the adversary. Yeah, that's true. I think we can all realize that. But we cannot judge the new creature by the performance of the flesh. If we start to do that, we're gonna be disappointed all the time, aren't we? Again, greater is he that's for us. What are we to do then? Colossians 3:12-16. It says, put on, therefore, Remember we talked about if you're going to put on something, you got to put off something, take off something, put on. As the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. It's the bond that holds us to our Lord. It's the bond that holds us together. Blessed be the tie that binds in the bonds of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now, wisdom is being introduced here, and for a good purpose. What's wisdom for? Dear brethren, wisdom is a tool. Wisdom, getting wisdom, is not the goal, but it will help us reach our goal. Our goal is Christ. So if you don't, how can I know how to do something unless someone teach me? You've heard that in the scriptures. That's true, isn't it? How can we know what to do unless we're instructed? But are we instructed just for the instruction's sake? No, for the purpose of development. So wisdom is important here. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Proverbs 3:13. You want to be happy? Find wisdom. Get understanding. This will help you develop. Proverbs 4:4 through 11. He taught me also, and he said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of thy mouth. Forget her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get thee understanding. Well, I thought love was the principal thing. Well, here it says wisdom is the principal thing. Well, let's look a little more carefully. It says wisdom is the first thing. It's the first thing that you need in order to develop the heart. Again, all that we've talked about previous is important to this. So we need the understanding in order to develop. Exalt her. The her there is the wisdom that we're getting, see? And she shall promote thee, and she shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. So shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she shall deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life may be many. We do this right, the years of our life will be many. How about eternity? That would be a lot, wouldn't it? Can you understand that? It is high. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. Let's do this right. We only get one shot at this. Here we are, prospective members of the body of Christ. Do we understand that? Does that ring? What does that mean to you, the body of Christ? Let's not fail in our quest and our goal to develop Christ-like character. And again, the promise, I have taught thee in the ways of wisdom, I have led thee in the right paths. We can count on that, can't we? Being led in the right path. James 3:17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure. When we think of pure, what do we think of? That which is truthful. That which is honest, sincere. It makes no compromise with sin or impurity in any form. So that takes some serious looking into our own self and our own hearts, doesn't it? So then, if it's pure, then peaceable. It loves and desires peace, harmony, unity. But it can only be fully in harmony with that which is pure and honest and good. So you've got to be pure first before you can be peaceable. We're going to see how the thought is here, how each one builds upon another. Each one adds. You've got to have this before you can do this. And before you can do the next, you've got to develop. So the next one, then peaceable, then gentle. We need to be gentle in actions, in words, in our tone, in our facial expressions. Body language is important. You know, we don't have to say something sometime. You know, oh, that brother said that. Don't do that. See, hear the matter out. Think about these things. So how we conduct ourselves, even in body language, is important, isn't it? So we want to be gentle, even in that sense. If an injury has been done to others, if we're gentle, if we develop this, it is ready and willing and glad to apologize and to remove the smart. So we want to develop gentleness. Are we easy to be entreated? Can you approach me? Can I approach you and not feel uneasy? See, that's important, isn't it? We want to be able to share one with another. Our love for the truth, that's how we get to know our hearts. We're talking heart to heart with our brethren. See what motivates them, what is causing them to do thus or so. Easy of approach, not haughty, not disdainful, not hard, not cruel, yet firm on matters of principle. That's important. Principles cannot be bent or modified. They belong to God. Another soundbite from Brother Russell. We want to be full of mercy. It rejoices in mercy. We've talked about how important mercy is. Mercy. We can't be in sympathy with things that are unmerciful. We must have the proper thought of mercy. And good fruits. Well, we're to develop the fruits and graces of the Spirit, are we not? Yes, this is what we want. It delights in all things prompted and promoted by love and kindness. It takes pleasure in doing good for others. Look for the good. Think of others. Brother Harry bringing that out to us through the words and lips of others. How important are these principles and lessons? If we think of others, we're not thinking of ourselves as much, are we? Without partiality. Not approving a fault in a brother because he's a brother, but reproving the same with gentleness and meekness. Not failing to see virtue in any enemy, nor hesitating to acknowledge it. Truth is its standard, not prejudice, not partyism, not sectarianism. Well, even if an enemy has something that's noteworthy, wouldn't it be good to make note of that? Sure it would. Sure it would. Without hypocrisy. Thoroughly candid. Needs to not feign love because it is love. Needs to not to put on a kindly exterior, for it is without envy and strife. Now just think about that. If we've developed all these traits, the wisdom that comes from above, it's pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, and without partiality, without hypocrisy. We don't want an exterior, something that just is an outward form of all these things. We want it to develop in our hearts. Genuine. We want the things that we say, our action, to be genuine. We want our love to be true. Proverbs 9 and 10, it says, give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The reverence of the Lord, I think. I love this word there. It means a profound respect mingled with awe and affection for the Lord. is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the holy or holy things is understanding. That's what we want. If we're in the holy, we should strive to know about those things that are in the holy. I don't know who coined the phrase this. I think I did, but it doesn't make any difference. It's important that understanding what you know brings true wisdom. See, and then we put our actions in accordance with that. We want it to be developed perfectly. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land. And verily, thou shalt be fed. Well, Brother Larry was waxing eloquently on how he was being fed by the sister there. It's important, isn't it? Being fed. But Psalm 78:72 says, so he fed them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. This is our Lord. It's our Heavenly Father. The skillfulness of his hands, it means in the hollow of his hand. We're being fed by the Lord through the instrumentality of the seventh messenger, through the scriptures and our understanding there. This should really, when I think of that, all I can think of is, wow, this is wonderful. We're being instructed by the Heavenly Father himself as long as we're trusting fully in him, leaning not to our own understanding. How important is that? And delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desire of thine heart. If you want to be with the Lord, then we need to develop this Christ-like character. And we'll get that desire. Commit thy ways unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Psalms 37, 4 and 5. Our Lord, in Psalms, said of him, verse 40, chapter 40, verse 8, I delight to do thy will. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Thy law is written in thy heart. Would it not be good for us to develop the same sentiment that we delight to do the will of the Lord, and we want his law written in our hearts? Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in the holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. This comes from Psalms 24, 3 and 4. Good question. Who shall ascend through the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in the holy place? The answer is, he that hath clean hands. An honest life. Everything that we handle must be kept pure. How can we do that? By developing the pure heart, honesty of heart. We want to keep the truth pure. Pure as possible. Pure as we, to the best of our ability, as we're directed by the Lord. This is important. Not lifted up his soul into vanity. No, we don't want to be seeking praise in the eyes of men. We want to be lifted up in the eyes of the Lord because of our faithfulness. Not if we're unfaithful, then we won't be lifted up. We won't stand in the holy place. So let us be faithful. Let us not swear deceitfully. He who made a vow unto the Lord, you know, let's keep it. We vowed to the Lord that we'll do. We've given him our heart. We'll follow in his son's footsteps. We put our hand to the plow. Let's not take it off. Let's keep our all on the altar. Until he says, it's enough, he takes it off. We want to hold tightly to the hand of the Lord. If we lose the favor of the Lord, it won't be because he let go of our hand. It's because we let go of his hand. Hold on tight. Hang on tight. Proverbs or Psalms 19:14, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So we want the words of our mouth, the meditation of our hearts, to be acceptable. And Proverbs 23:7 says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. We have examples of good thinking. We have examples of bad thinking. One of the bad examples, or if we look at it properly, it would be a good example not to emulate. We think of Lucifer, Isaiah 14:12-14. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into the heavens. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. What a haughty statement. That's a bad example. We don't want to follow that example. That's a haughty spirit. Goes before a fall. Pride before destruction. We want to be successful. Stay away from this thought of haughty spirit. Jeremiah 17:9 tells us that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Well, is that the heart of the new creature? No. It's the natural heart. It's desperately wicked. It's the old guy. Well, we're putting him off. We've thrown him out. He keeps wanting to get in, back in, like that donkey, you know, try to get into the door where it's warm. Keep him out. One brother said to me, he tries to think of this every day, I am dead. It's the old guy's dead. But for me to live is Christ. That's true, isn't it? Keep the old guy out. Another contrast where Lord, at the first advent, speaking to the scribes and Pharisees, you know, in Matthew 12:34-37. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. What a wonderful principle this is to think about. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of a good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of an evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Dear brethren, where is your treasure? Where is my treasure? There your heart will be also. If your treasure is thinking upon heavenly things, that's good. That's good. But if it's thinking on things of the earth, earthborn clouds arising, don't want that. Put that away. Reprint 43:45. Scripture is from Proverbs 4:23. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Why? For out of it are the issues of life. Brother Russell, short paragraph. We realize that our heads need keeping. And some of us at one time might have been inclined to say, keep thy head with all diligence in line with the doctrines of Christ, and thy heart will be all right, for God will keep it. Brother Russell says, this is totally wrong. This is a mistake. This is backwards. We are not competent in keeping our heads. Just think about that. We are not competent in keeping our heads. But we are competent in keeping our hearts. Keep our hearts, he will keep our heads. Important. That's fully in line with Philippians 3:15. Therefore, brethren, let us, as many as be perfect, perfect-willed, perfect-minded, reaching the mark of perfect love, be thus minded, and if anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. That's a promise. We're a little bit sideways in our thinking. If our heart's right, God will bring this to our attention. God is always faithful. He always brings what we need to our attention. Whether we receive it or not, that's up to us. But He will bring it to our attention. Psalms 139, 23, and 24 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Well, it says, "Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults." And keep thy servant back from presumptuous sins, that let them not have dominion over me. Don't let these secret faults have control over you. Then I shall be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. And then it goes on and again, talks about, let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. A friend in need is a friend indeed. Love that reprint. 1,000 beautiful sentiments weigh far less than one lovely action. Think of others, do for others. I think a lot of wonderful thoughts, but don't put them into action. What good is that? The one whom we are thinking about, they didn't know it, but the action speaks louder than these thoughts. So we want to be able to put our thoughts into actions. And let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Hebrews 10, 22. Again, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. We'd like you to think about and look at precious promises for that scripture. And this will only take a minute. A pure heart would be a fully consecrated heart, the whole mind given up to the Lord's will. How precious the thought that we may attain to absolute purity of intention, of love, and so on, toward all mankind as well as towards the Lord, and that God will thus accept us in His beloved one, not counting to us the unintentional weaknesses and blemishes which we realize and which others realize perhaps still more than we. How blessed the thought that such will see God, that such will have the clearest views of God's character and plan now, and such shall see Him shortly when changed in the resurrection, when they shall have awakened in the likeness of our dear Redeemer. Dear brethren, let us all be faithful to this end, is my prayer. Lord bless us to that degree.
Thank you, Brother Jim. Oh, for a heart more like my God, from imperfection free. That's the song upon all our hearts, I'm sure, dear brethren. This lesson certainly focuses our mind upon it. Thank you, Brother Jim, for the lovely treatise on matters of the heart. I'm going to ask Brother Keith if you would come forward and read for us the songs in the night for September 1st to close our service this day.
Now abideth faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. 1 Corinthians 13:13. It seems impossible to describe love, this wonderful quality without which nothing is acceptable in the sight of God. The apostle does not attempt to define love, but contents himself with giving us some of its manifestations. Those who possess a love with such characteristics are able to appreciate it, but not able otherwise to explain it. The fact is that love, like life and light, is difficult to define, and our best endeavors to comprehend it are along the lines of its effects. It is of God. It is God-likeness in the heart, in the tongue, in the hands, in the thoughts, supervising all the human attributes and seeking to control them. Where love is lacking, the results are more or less evil. Where love is present, the results differ according to the degree of love and are proportionately good. Now abideth faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13.
Thank you, Brother Keith. What a complimentary thought to the discourse we just had. The Lord arranges all of those things beautifully, doesn't he? Let us close this day and the formal services with hymn 267, Brother McClugan's choice. And we'll remain seated for the singing of the hymn. And we'll ask Brother Jim to close the service and the day with prayer and ask a blessing on our evening meal and our continued fellowship together. And we'll just have a brief announcement on a meal arrangement after the prayer. 267.
Our kind, loving, merciful Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy holy and precious name. We're thankful, Father, for these lessons that you give us. We trust that by striving to develop our heart, you will keep our heads and help us to become more of a copy of thy dear Son. This is our prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, bless the food that has been prepared and bless the fellowship that will to follow in the night's rest. And dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the events of the day, how it has enriched our lives. We trust that these lessons that we have heard will put them into practice and become more an image of thy Son, his character. And it's in the loving merit of our Lord Jesus that we ask and give thee thanks. Amen.